Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Navigate. We have a bit of catching up to do. We've been taking a little break, but we are back with some great episodes lined up for you. Leadership coach Mark Ross is going to be back with us in a couple weeks. Lori Farrell, a spiritual director who I had a great conversation with, is going to be with us in one of our upcoming episodes. But today, Jeff and Sarah Simons are back, and they are joining me and my wife, Eve Austin, for the first of a two-part series on the art of transition. Yes, you heard me correctly, the art of transition. And Jeff and Sarah are both professional coaches and cross-cultural companions to global leaders in major transition. Sarah is also a coach and founder of The Way Between, where she and Jeff create resources and workshops using life planning tools, art, and movement. And they are a family on mission with their two kids, now residing in Denver, Colorado, after 12 years of living overseas and working in three countries. Sarah recently published a book called The Art of Transition, and I personally attended her book launch party and was quite impressed with what I saw. And last week, the four of us had the opportunity to sit down and chat about this amazing resource for those in transition seasons. So let's get into it as we discussed The Art of Transition with Jeff and Sarah Simons. All right, Jeff and Sarah Simons, welcome to Navigate Podcast once again. You know, we had you guys before for a couple different episodes, and I really want our listeners to go back and, if they haven't already, listen to those episodes as well to get some more context. But it's so good to have you both in the same space today in this conversation, along with my wife, Eve Austin. And yeah, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Great to be back, Tim.
Great. Well, hey, we want to give you an opportunity to just kind of give our listeners a brief sketch of yourselves and who you are, where you've been. And like I said, I've had you each on individually for the podcast. So this will be interesting to see how we interact together, all four of us. So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
But I want to encourage, let me just pause here, and I just want to encourage our listeners to go back to a couple really great episodes with both Sarah and Jeff. The ones that Jeff, you and I did together, or the, did we do two together? I think we did two together.
We did a two-part series, yeah.
Yeah, missions mapping and landing and setting up well with Jeff. And then earlier on, Sarah, you and I did a couple great episodes. They were really well. A lot of listeners loved those. I got a lot of great feedback from all of these. But
thanks. It was fun. Three years ago or something, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. Yeah. Parts on creating new and transition. So just want to encourage our listeners. This is not the only time we're hearing from you guys. We want them to know that there's some great resources out there for them in other spaces and on other episodes. So again, okay, let me just give you guys an opportunity to give us a little update on where you've been, how things are going.
Yeah. You want to go first, Sarah?
Yeah, absolutely. So we decided in November of 2019 that it was time to take the plunge after 8 years of living in Spain to return back to the U.S. for a number of different reasons. Parent care was one of the biggest impetus for our transition. So as we all know, the world shut down about 3 months later, which was a really interesting timing for our own transition. We say that as transition coaches, it may have aided in some street credibility for our for our work and what we do. So between the months of May and September, we put a lot of we put a hold on much of the external work that we do, external ministry, and just began packing and moving. And arrived in the U.S. in end of June 2020. And so now here we are in almost May of 2021, almost a year later. It's really hard to believe that it's been a year. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So
is Colorado, right? You're based in Colorado.
Yes. So now here we are in Colorado. We say that we've gone through four transitions in one in a lot of different ways with COVID added to it. But also just recognizing that the discernment process was its own element of the transition, and then leaving and packing was another, and the initial landing. And now we're sort of in that long-term landing and setting up life still. And so there, it's been a while. What would you say?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Tim, when we were talking on the podcast, I don't know how many months, 6 months back now.
Yeah.
I think we had, you know, I had said that we had put down a mock list of what we thought were the major hurdles and milestones we would have to go through to put down life well, leave Spain well, leave team and our past organization, to make the move, you know, and then actually set up stable life here. And I think at that point we were, you know, there was like 48 kind of major things on the list that we could identify. And, I think we were somewhere in the high 30s when you and I talked, and I did check today for in prep for our conversation, and we're at 45 of 48. So,
45.
You know, we're almost there. We're almost there. So, you know, granted everything goes smoothly, I think we could get through those couple in the next couple months. But yeah, you're talking about over a year, really, you know, almost close to 2 years of, you know, of the whole entire process, you know, from the discernment to make the transition to putting the steps in place to saying goodbye well, to actually doing the move, you know, and taking the way between kind of to the next level in that process at the same time.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. It's been quite a journey. And then, you know, COVID has just thrown every piece, you know, up in the air as to when that piece could actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, we've had to really be agile more than our muscles could stretch sometimes. So
in what ways has COVID prolonged the transition, or has this whole season of COVID, are there any ways that has actually sped up the transition and helped you check off some of those 48 things on your list?
Jeff's clearly a list maker. My list wasn't that.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, you had separate lists.
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay.
But I, you know, I would probably say that one of the biggest contributing factors was really the need for margin and the lack mm-hmm. of margin that a lot of people had. So I would say in a normal year, Jeff and I have transitioned prior to this from a cross-cultural setting, me from England, Jeff from Korea. And, you know, you have this slight expectation that people would have some energy to welcome you back or to greet you or to have mm-hmm. time or space that, you know, the rest of the world would be doing really well and that you would be the one that would feel confused or at a loss. And really, because the whole world has been in that place, it's a really unique time feeling that lack of margin that most people just don't have a lot to give, including ourselves. And so just giving ourselves that grace to recognize it's going to take a lot longer. Mm-hmm. And so we say, you know, it's like a year or two already, depending on when you started counting. But just that ability to give ourselves grace has been needed so much more greatly in this time. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. And what you say about giving yourselves grace. Yeah. And then giving others grace too.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like you said, they don't always have the capacity margin because of their own unique situations. So even though they may not have moved from, from the other side of the globe, there's still this lack of capacity. I think there always is in some sense. Like we know, like we're aware as we transition from overseas to our home countries, we're aware if we've done it at least once, we're aware that we're going to get the blank stares. We're going to get like one or two basic questions, maybe from somebody who's curious enough to ask, and not a whole, and then maybe not a whole lot of other support, you know, and, you know, so it's, if we're aware of that, just how that, like you said, Sarah, is just kind of magnified in this climate.
Yeah, there's been, we've read a couple articles that were, I thought were pretty interesting on comparing the experience of the cross-cultural worker, you know, moving into a whole nother culture, language, this sort of thing, and sort of that, that disorientation that happens and all of that, and kind of comparing that to what all of us across the globe have been going through with COVID, because even if you've stayed in your hometown and you quarantined in your house, all of a sudden, all of your patterns have totally changed. And you're, you know, how you would normally go about your day, you have to rethink every piece, you know? And so kind of on a micro scale, everybody's been going through, you know, a transition with the way that they live, whether they've actually left, you know, tried to do a move during COVID or not. And I think we've been seeing and experiencing some of that disorientation from everybody, from family members to friends to, you know, and it's understandable, and there's kind of a resonance, but there's also that, like, not many people have much margin or capacity to kind of really look outside themselves and, you know, you hope for the warm welcome, and we have had some of that, you know, but it's I think it's been ramped up because everybody's been in resiliency mode in a lot of ways during this very strange year. So I haven't, I you know, to answer your question, I don't think anything has sped up the process necessarily. You know, when we were in Spain, we were waiting for flights so that we could actually fly out. And it was after the first wave of the pandemic was coming down in Spain. And our flights got rearranged, you know, three or four times, canceled. And then all of a sudden an earlier one came up, which was quite a surprise. So actually ended up leaving somewhat on time, but we didn't expect to. But it has slowed a lot of things down, which in some ways has been a grace, because we've come back and we don't have the pressure to just jump in and find a new church, because we're moving into a new city that we weren't actually in before in the US. Everything's online. So we're kind of checking out churches online, but we haven't gotten a sense of the actual community gathering and what that looks like. So we've just had to kind of put the pause on making a decision on church, and our kids with school, instead of them going right in and getting that, like, kind of massive reentry whiplash of American school culture, you know, we got back and everything was up in the air with school. So we did an online program, and it won't be till next fall that they get that kind of, you know, experience of American school culture. You know, that's still to come. So there's some things that have been delayed because of COVID that I think we would have experienced a lot of things all at once normally. And some of those things have gotten put off or delayed to be experienced later on, which kind of is a grace in some ways. So it's been interesting that way.
Yeah, I think you guys definitely have some skills that the typical American does not have when it came to navigating these things. And yeah, as do most cross-cultural workers, because yeah, hopefully we had some training and some life experience that helped us be prepared in handling upheaval. Maybe not, but if not, we all have that now. The whole planet should have some of that. So yeah, definitely significant there. So in the middle of it all, you published a book, and still amazes me. It's called The Art of Transition. I personally love it. I have gifted a copy, have my own copy. Oh, so tell us more about that, Sarah.
Well, this book was really 4 years in the making, and I think it happened to come out in the middle of 2020. I call it a resource guide more than anything, because it is the basis of the workshops that we do, and the workbook is meant to be utilized for those in major life transition that are seeking some tools, and we do that with art and movement. And so the marriage of art and movement with strategic planning is what makes the material unique, and really came out of my own difficult transition several years ago. And then for the last 3 to 4 years, I just keep trying it with different people who are gracious to let us speak into their lives, and also kept sort of editing the material. And then in 2020 was when, I don't know if it was because we had a little bit more time or what it was exactly, but yeah, it was able to come together and then be published by a publisher in the UK. And so here it is, which is exciting and fun for me. And of course, now you look at it and you go, oh, I'd like it to also include this or to be like this, or, you know, already thinking about the 2.0 version of it. So,
yeah. Yeah. So you have been able to do a couple workshops around, just helping people to interact with the resource that book is. How have those gone?
Yeah, so for since 2017, I've been experimenting with these workshops and individuals, and they, you know, we played with it back in 2017, even online virtually, and so it was really fun to watch the rest of the world make Zoom the norm. And so for me, it was really, unique to be able to continue offering them virtually and in person. And so even interestingly enough, in September, people started asking for it, and I was kind of going, gosh, I don't know if I'm done with my own transition at this point. But despite my reservations around my capacity, it felt like God gave me the grace, and we started facilitating them in themes. And so the one that we did then was unresolved endings. Mm-hmm. And then we started doing specific debriefing ones. So 4-part workshops. And then once you've gone through one, you can go through sort of a boost or an enrichment. And we've been doing those now as well, and are sort of enjoying the next level of piloting this. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and people's responses have been really great and gracious. Even one person who said that it was the first time they really felt safe in this group space, and others who shared that it was really beneficial to go through it with other people, to feel like you're not alone in the transition. And that's ultimately what we love providing for other people, is that space to talk, to normalize transition, to talk openly about the funkiness of it and the frustrations, the highs, the lows. And then doing it with art and movement for me is just a real gift, because it allows that deeper processing. And so I love it. I love working with people in this space. So
yeah. And I love the fact that you mentioned strategic. There are strategic pieces of transition, obviously the planning and being purposeful and intentional, but bringing in the art and movement. And I'm hearing you say that's not separate from being strategic. That's part of being strategic. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I might just add, is it all right, Sarah? Add something to it. I mean, one thing that I've come to, background wise, Sarah and I being in the member care world for 12 plus years now, and with a strategic team in Spain and that kind of thing, is we often were on more the development side than we were the care side. You can't really totally separate those two, but we were more strategic. We have coaching and training background and this kind of thing. And I think what I've just come to learn, and I'm still learning the depths of it, as you know, being partners, running the way between with that the Lord has developed through Sarah over the last 4 years, is just that adding the art and movement isn't just like, oh, that's a nice creative art journaling technique, or that's a, you know, oh, that makes it more fun or something. You know, it has a depth that is amazing, that when you're in transition and you're having to ramp up your decision-making 10 times every day in trying to figure out the pieces. The stress of transition, and even if it's a positive transition, your stress levels go up. And just, you know, the way God has built our bodies, we go cognitive. We just go cerebral with it. And we actually only engage a certain percentage of our body in that process. And what has been powerful with bringing, you know, just simple but strategic art and movement pieces into it is that actually kind of comes, helps you come through the back door. It actually engages your whole body first, and then it helps you bring that up to the thought level or the process level, the debriefing level. And you actually end up being much more present and holistic and being able to engage your whole self in the process. And your ability to then make good decisions and discern out of that is ramped up that much more. And that's the power that I've been seeing through it. If you just think about it strategically, it really has been a powerful process for people. I think we were surprised. One of the folks that went through a virtual one, they were in a very difficult transition from the Middle East. And they just said, this was the best debrief we've ever done. Mm. And we wouldn't necessarily say that it's, you know, not a debrief process, but we haven't advertised it that way. It definitely can have some debriefing elements, but we realized that they were able to engage it in a normal debrief environment. You're usually just very much coming at it from a head or a talk therapy or a, you know, type of a standpoint. And this really helped them just engage their whole self and their whole family in the process. So,
yeah, we would love to hear about one of the tools in your book, if we could share that with our listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have a preference? No, I'm just joking. I'll there's only 40 of them, or roughly, you know, so.
I get to pick my favorite.
Yeah, you get to pick your favorite. So we were thinking one of the ones that is a little simpler that can be explained in this way. Really, the entire process is meant to build on each other, on the idea of strategic planning and then also the art and the movement. So it does build. However, they can be used separately as well. So the one that I'm looking at that was I was thinking for sharing with your audience is called Map Your Network. And I think one of the reasons for it is really just the value for us in the people that surrounded us in this transition and the importance of having a really good support network. And this was really the first time that both Jeff and I felt like we were intentional about asking people to walk with us. Like I personally had 4 people, 2 of them helping professionals and 2 of them friends that I said, hey, could you do a call with me once a week for the next once a month for the next 6 months. So I had somebody every week for the next 6 months in our transition that was going to be walking with me. And so that support just being super valuable. So that's what this one is really all about, was sort of living the message and the fact that we say to other people, the support system is so essential. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm happy to just for a few minutes set it up and then people could do this on their own.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Perfect. Yep. Yeah. Sarah, are you going to mention the sort of just one of the background pieces of where this came out of besides just our own personal experience?
Yeah, so the inspiration for it, which you can read in the workbook as well, or if you are able to see this online on our website, the inspiration for me was Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Surprisingly, he was an influential person in my childhood. Whether because he was so kind or the themes were so simple, I watched it as a 5-year-old every single day. So when I went through my transition and started creating this material, I really was aware of the gift of the support network that we were given and that I was specifically given and just had the value of that. So, So Map Your Network is a two-part exercise. So this is just part 1. So if you have a piece of paper and a pencil, Just use that piece of paper and the pencil without judging or without giving yourself too many parameters, but just allowing yourself to be open to what might come. So the first question is just consider who are the people that are supporting you in this transition? Who are the people who celebrate your gifts and your strengths alongside of you? So if I was coaching somebody or doing this in the workshop, I would give you 5 minutes for each of these questions for you to think a little bit deeper. But for the sake of the podcast, I'll keep going and you could pause it and come back to it as well. So the second question is, consider this network of people that you uniquely have in your life. This very element of it is only one part of the greater support that you need, which is another exercise in this book when we talk about 5 or 6 different types of support that you need. But the network of people being unique, what I'm asking you to do is to draw a map like a neighborhood. So you would place yourself in the middle, like in a metaphorical map. And this is representing your community. Regardless of real life proximity, you might not have any of these people living near you or in your life in a tangible, real way. These are the people that are representing the care for you all around you. So you can be creative. You can draw them in the form of trees or windows or houses, however you want your neighborhood to look. It could be full of nature. It might be full of buildings. I would probably give you about 15 minutes to draw that, and then to use colors and shapes and shading to represent each of the people in the category and filling in their names in the blocks or in the trees or wherever it is that you want to represent them. And what that does, even in the shading, it takes you into a different place of processing and thinking about the people that are in your life and the gifts that you have. And I think for me, even doing when I was creating this, it took me to a place of recognizing I had so many, whether it be helping professionals like a therapist or a coach, family members, our donors, just that immense support network that we've been given. So finally, as an exercise in gratitude, just looking at the picture, once you've filled it out more, and it could take 30 minutes to do this whole process, just giving thanks for the people that are in your life and that are a part of your support system. And the coaching questions that I have that go with it for me are, what social support network do you notice is in abundance or lacking? What's missing? What's missing for you? What do you desire more of? And who do you know who can currently aid you in your next steps going forward? So for me, this transition has been really unique in that the message was continually in the back of my mind. Healthy people know what they need and they ask for it. Healthy people know what they need and they ask for it. So for us, it was like, man, if we're transition coaches, we have to live it out, right? So we had to keep asking and we had to keep letting people in on the process with us. And I think that that was a huge part of it for us. So that's just one little intro into the book. I would show pictures and then share pictures if we were doing it together and then taking it to the next step and actually processing further the needs or the lacking.
That's awesome. I love that. So would you say like in terms of how the workbook is put together, would it be like a process that you would start from the beginning and go to the end, or would there be exercises you could kind of pull out based on where you're at in your current transition certain themes that, you know, relevant to you at the time?
Yeah. So it was created to be a process, really, like Jeff was mentioning. And that's ultimately, if you have the ability, the capacity for it, that's great. What I've noticed myself in going through it and even utilizing this, coming back to it for myself, is most people are pretty tapped out or flooded in transition. And so it's a lot to go through all at once. And so we're being reminded, how do we break these out? Like, can we do it in themes, or can we break it out and allow it even to be its own online e-course so that people can work through it on a weekend? You mentioned doing it on a weekend, like, right. So there's different portions of it so that we could pull it out. So we're in process of kind of playing with it in different ways now. Like we said at the beginning, slowing it all down and creating that space to be able to come back to it too. So,
yeah. Good. Yeah. Some people have found that, and it's structured, not just kind of front to back in a chronological order necessarily. Although, Sarah has intentionally structured certain tools under certain themes that often, you know, in a transition, you don't just, you know, do a new identity, creating a new identity all in one phase of your transition in that 1 month. And then you move on to perspective or new goals. You know, those go back and forth and they're intertwined, kind of like the emotions of grief. You know, you don't just, you know, go through one emotion per day and then you're done with grief. But it is structured in a way where someone could do it self-guided and look at that. We have found, and we, you know, potentially particularly structured that way, but we have found that obviously it's been much more impactful for people to go through it with a group where you can hear from each other, you can see each other's examples, you actually end up learning, you know, sometimes just as much from the others as you do from doing the exercises yourself. And so that's been the most powerful way, is to do it in a group setting. And so we offer those. Other people who have gotten into the book or done the process also will be kind of offering some of those group experiences as well. So.
Yeah, I think, I attended your book, virtual book launch, and was part of that group for an hour or so. Yeah. And loved being part of that and the excitement around the book being released. And I think you had mentioned there's going to be some more training coming up for those who would like to just get some training in how to facilitate, whether their own workshop or their own group, whether it's at their church or with or in a debriefing process or whatever. But is that what are you planning in that direction?
Yeah. So in May, middle of May 2021 here, we're going to do a taste and see to try it out for a couple hours. And then in late fall of 2021, the idea and hope is to be able to solidify how to communicate this process to create a facilitator training, and then to be able to equip people with it for their context. So if people want to use it in ongoing workshops or in ongoing debriefs, the hope is really that the end result would be, how is this most useful in your context? What portions of it or all of it are useful in your context? And so we're creating the content for that and how to communicate what is in my brain and in Jeff's brain right now and what we're most passionate about around all of this. So with the art and the movement too.
Yeah.
And we're pretty passionate about doing it in a fun way. So Jeff's an improv guy. How can we add some improv in there with coaching and make it fun and useful as well? So
yeah.
I'm curious, what of it have you found to be interesting or useful? Why is this beneficial for what you do?
Yeah, well, I think up to this point, it's been, for me, what I've been doing a lot of is recommending the title to people because I haven't known if I could sort of, you know, pick and choose, or like, obviously if I use an exercise out of your book, I'm going to say, here's where I got this. That's what I do with all of my resources. If it's in print, of course it's printed on there and the website and all that. But anyway, so that's what I've been doing to this point, is just telling people, hey, got to get this book, because so many of the people we are spending time with, Tim as a life coach and myself as a marriage and family therapist, are experiencing transition. And I know we've talked in general about, you know, transition from either living internationally to coming back to the US or vice versa, going the other direction. But as you guys know, in every transition is, you know, 20 layers of the other transitions. Right. And then there's, it's always in motion, right? There's always another transition coming down the pipeline. So it's just such a, it's happening to everybody in some way. And I would say most of the folks I talk to have little to no resources that are helping them through these difficult transitions, or even the easier mid-range transitions. You know, like what do you do besides, you know, curl up in a ball or crawl in your turtle shell? Well, there are other options, but yeah, when it gets intense, that is kind of the default, the turtle shell mode, you know? So I just love that this is giving, the creative ideas and actually that process, like, it is a process. Let's journey through it together. You don't have to do it alone, but let's have the intentionality. I just keep hearing that in what you both are saying. And that resonates so much with us. Like those take phone calls, you know, if you want to meet with a therapist or a coach or spiritual director, that takes a phone call, or getting online and looking at their website. That takes, you know, the friends, Sarah, that you were talking about, where you said, hey, can we talk on the phone once a month for the next 6 months? You had to be very intentional in that conversation to make that happen. So it's not, we don't have any pixie dust or magic pills here, but we do have some really great ideas. And this book just puts a bunch of great ideas together in one spot. So thank you.
Yeah. And what I've kind of been thinking about and have been excited about and actually asked you about was to how could we use the resource in a retreat setting? Because we facilitate retreats, which are kind of really, they're not transition, focused only on transition, the retreats that we do, but transition always comes up in the retreats. You know, those who come to us and are part of the retreats are, many of them are in some kind of big transition. And so, and the whole picture, you know, what we do is being kind of this rest, renew, and review process in our retreats, to where we focus on rest and renewal and reviewing what's been going well, what needs to shift, what needs to change. But just integrating some of these, even the one you shared with us earlier, Sarah, in the podcast, just integrating some of these into a retreat setting could be super helpful to help really engage the process.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I experienced in the process, you know, obviously Sarah had been piloting these and using a lot of these tools over the years, building towards what is now the workbook. But I saw her spend probably just as much of time in developing the tools, with a lot of great research background into, you know, from counseling, from leadership studies, from, you know, a lot of different pieces. You get into this tool that seems like a simple drawing tool and you realize, oh, wow, there's like a whole bunch of research depth behind this. That's powerful. But I saw her spend just as much time in restructuring the book, and then me as editor and her graphic designer to put it together so it could be used in a more full process, you know, over a week in a retreat with people, which we do often. But it's all great individual blocks and tools that could, you know, a subset could be pulled out, or one or two could be pulled out for a perfect timing. And we'll do that in our coaching with people too. We're like, you know, there's one tool that we would like, here, we'll send you the PDF, or the PDF's on our website, rather than, you know, it's not always the full book process. You can really pick and choose these that go along with the stage or the place that you're at, that help create a different space with God, that help get a different angle on it, that just opens up things for you in a different way when you're feeling stuck or you're feeling uncreative.
I think that's how great resources and tools come about, kind of how they evolve. I mean, you guys, you know, they come in bits and pieces, ideas and concepts and you try them out in a workshop or one-on-one in your coaching, and you begin to experiment and use them, and you get feedback, and pretty soon you have this whole set of tools, which you've obviously now compiled in a great process. And now you're going to be getting feedback on that and kind of going, you know, the other direction of, you know, what could be used as individual exercises as you get the feedback. So I love the fact that you're asking for and getting good feedback, and it's just going to make it an even greater resource as it evolves and moves forward here for you guys. So we're excited with you, and
thank you
for this. Yeah. It's a big feat. And
it was sort of my ribbon cutting ceremony. That was a little scary to tell the world it exists. Jeff says I was always over in the corner just creating in my little lab and wondering what would come from it. That was back in 2016, 2017. But really it was, I didn't know if I would ever use it with anybody when I created it. It was really, this is what I would like. This is where my brain is going, and some of it's borrowed, and the, you know, source is cited as well, and some of it's created new. But really, it's a lot of playful interaction in transition, and different, like you said, Eve too, is different ways of going about the transition, even lamenting and reconciling and considering your limitations and perspective and your identity, and just putting that all together in there to validate how complicated it is. Mm-hmm. And especially as we work with global workers, it's a very complex thing to uproot your life and your family and your job. It just has so many layers to it that even I kept coming back to it, like, man, I could benefit from this tool again. Like, let me do this one again. So
yeah, get something new every time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. One of the exciting, just to mention as a side note here, the exciting thing that Sarah and I have been cogitating and working together, I'm leading a few families through this now, is, you know, up and to this point, I think there's a lot of different major transitions that we can name in life, right? But the majority of folks I think that we've worked with have been either in that reentry or making a hard transition from one country and maybe position to another, or another organization, or vocational discernment. Like, okay, I'm in the mission world, but what I'm doing is just draining me. Doesn't seem like a fit, you know? So those have been the major kind of transitions that we've been working with thus far. But my heart as a missiologist and my background with kind of the leadership development, I've been excited and have been playing around with for years that transition of actually going that first transition to an overseas or to a new context, to a new cultural environment, and mixing some of that missiology, cross-cultural, you know, field orientation training that I have, and marrying it up with these whole body, holistic transition resources is creating something new for us in the way between that I'm excited about and I'm seeing people benefit from, than rather just the fire hose of kind of pre-field orientation of what to think about with language or, you know, different kinds of cultures and their, you know, shame-based cultures. And, you know, a lot of the things that we do get, which are great, but really bringing the whole body into the process and marrying these things together has been exciting. So that's something that's in the lab right now and bubbling and popping and fizzing. So
great.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
There can be so much benefit to slowing down in transition seasons. If you happen to be in a transition, whether that's an unresolved ending, a messy middle, or even coming into a new beginning, let me encourage you to hit the pause button and intentionally build up your support structure. Take the necessary time to process and do some more processing and more processing, but maybe it might even help to get out of your head. Take a break from the seriousness of it all and lean into some fun, some celebration. I hope you had some takeaways from this conversation today. I encourage you to head over to Jeff and Sarah's website, thewaybetween.org, and check out what resources they have available there. And definitely tune in to part two of this conversation, which will be going live real soon. That's a wrap. for this episode of Navigate. I'm Tim Austin, and you can also find me hanging out at EncompassLifeCoaching.com. Thank you for joining us, spreading the word, and even rating the podcast would be a great help as well. See you next time.